It's easy to spot greed in others. You can tell when people are lusting after money or things. You see it in their faces. Trouble is, often we can't see it in ourselves, where greed has just as solid a foothold as in anyone else. So, polish up that mirror and get set to take a long look. Today, we learn some tough lessons on how to lose the greed we all share down deep. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series tells about seven secret snares that can trap the Christian. Today's focus is on greed, the heart revealed. Deep down inside, we're all just like that man in the parable who built himself some bigger barns.
He thought that if he got his retirement program all worked out and that the barn was very plentiful, he thought that that he would be in control, but he wasn't, because that very night, you know what the text says? God says, your soul is demanded from you. Excellent translation. You know what the Greek word is? It's actually like when you demand a note or a loan, and it has matured, and so you demand it. God says, I gave all of this to you. It was supposed to be used to bless me, so that you would give to others, and so that you would be generous, and here you hoarded it for yourself, and I'm demanding now it all back, and I am demanding that you pay up and give me an account for the way in which you spent it. Tonight is the night that it's demanded. Wow. Could you imagine the funeral? Can't you just imagine how they gather together and they say, oh, he was such a wise farmer. He figured out all of these new ways that might be necessary to grow a good crop, and he was such a wonder. He never harmed anybody, never did any harm. Where was he? He was in Hades. That's where Jesus said the other rich man went, whose name was Lazarus, you remember? Not to be confused with a Lazarus who was raised from the dead. He went into Hades, the rich man, and there he is, and he's in torment, and everybody gathering at the funeral saying all of these nice platitudes, and everybody talking about this wonderful rich farmer who thought that greed was good. As Boesky said many years ago when preaching to a graduation service, you can be greedy and still feel good about yourself, he said. Now, folks, where is Wall Street ending anyway? Let me give you a description. Your hope is in money. Listen to this. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet cloth, every sort of cordion wood and articles of every kind, made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble. Cargoes of cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, olive oil, of all fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, houses, carriages, and bodies and souls of men. And they will say, the fruit of you longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand afar off, terrified at her torment, and they will weep and mourn and cry and say, woe, woe to the great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold and precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour such great wealth has been brought to ruin. And this night, your soul is demanded from you, and you stand before God. It's awesome. What do we do with the greed that lives within our hearts, within my heart, within your heart, within all of our hearts? First of all, we have to admit it's there, okay? Would you just admit it? Would you just say, yeah, I'm greedy? Willing to say that? Yeah, I'm greedy? Not many takers. You see, we don't think we are because we've rationalized it so much. We say, well, you know, those stories of the miser. I remember as a young preacher, I loved a story like that. You know, the guy who dies of starvation, though he's surrounded by hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash. And it's a lovely story, and everybody, and it made me feel so good because I knew I wasn't like that. And so what we do is we say, well, it's the truly wealthy. You see, they're greedy. It's the Boeskys of this world. Where we read the verse that says the love of money is the root of all evil, or a root of all evil, and we say, well, you know, it's only the love of it. I don't love it. I date it. I cuddle it. We smooch a little bit. But I don't love it. I really do believe, folks, I cannot make you see the greed in your heart. I can't. Only God can. Only God can do that for me, because it is so deeply entwined with who we are, our basic love of money and things and the security that we derive from it. But that's number one. That's number one. We have to admit that it is there. Secondly, and by the way, in Mark 4, Jesus said an interesting thing. He said, you know, the grain that was sown, he says, some of it fell among the thorns. And then he says, the thorns grew up and choked it. And in interpreting the parable, he says, the thorns that choke it, he says, are the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Why the deceitfulness of riches? Because you need money in order to live, you see. So there's a legitimate use of money. And so, but it's deceitful because we think that everything we do is legitimate. And the love of other things, he says, chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. And we don't understand that when we think of the stock market more often than we think of the scriptures, we are indeed greedy. Greedy. All right, number one, we have to admit it. Number two, we have to exchange gods. Do you know why God is so upset about covetousness? You know what bothers him so much about greed? You know why it is that Jesus said, watch out? I'll tell you why. Because both greed and God promise the same thing. You see, greed says, look, if you get enough money, you're going to be happy. God says, you follow me and you're going to have life more abundantly. Same promise. Money says, I'm going to be with you until you die. If you get enough of it, it'll always be there. No matter how many health problems you have, no matter what happens to the economy, you can be absolutely certain that I will be with you to the end. That's exactly what God promises, that he's with us through the hard times. But money makes the very same promise. So you see, what happens is we begin to transfer our trust from God to money, and therefore in that transfer of trust, we are really figuratively slapping God across the face. And you see, greed then becomes a part of all that we are. Of course, there's a legitimate use for money. There's purchasing houses, and there's places to live, and there's groceries, and all of those things. But oh, how all of that attaches so easily to our hearts. We have to come back and simply say, God, I want to be satisfied with you. You know, in my short life, and it is getting longer, but I still call it short. In my short life, I've met some people with great poverty, but they are content. And you remember what Paul says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. Michael Douglas was wrong. Let me say also, then what we need to do is, we just need to give. We just need to give. You give it away every time you write out a check every Sunday, like all of you do, right? You give greed away. You simply say that God has given me the privilege of giving, and you give and you give and you give, because that's the only way that you can really extract this from your heart, is to give. We did a survey recently and discovered that actually the giving at Moody Church per member is not that high at all. And you know what the tragedy is? It's not just that we could have more money to do things and support our missionaries, and we may be on the verge of a large capital fund campaign so that we can expand. That's a possibility that's being talked about. And the real goal, though, is not to get more money. That would be a mistake to say what we need is more money and therefore we want people to give. No. What we want is more character. What we want is more generosity. What we want is more Christ-likeness, more giving of ourselves away, you see, because that's really where it's at. One day Jesus was talking to a young ruler who came to him, and he said, how may I inherit eternal life? It's an awesome question. If he ran into some of our evangelism explosion people, they would say, well, I want you to sit down because I want to explain some good news to you. and that would be the proper thing to do. But Jesus handled it differently. He said, first of all, the young man said, good master, what shall I do? And Jesus said, why are you calling me good? Only God is good. There's a lot of irony there, because what he was trying to do is to test this guy to see whether or not that he realized that Jesus was in fact God. But Jesus said, you do have the commandments, don't you? How do you read them? And he says, don't commit adultery, you don't steal, you don't lie, you honor your father and mother. And I've been doing all these since my youth. And Jesus turned to him and said, oh, well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. What you need to do really is to sell everything then and follow me. If you're following the commandments, the Bible says thou shalt not covet, so just give it all away and follow me. And then the guy began to realize, that's not the answer that I wanted. It's not where it's at. He felt a little bit like the teenager who thinks he's got a ton of money until he has to buy car insurance. He's not nearly as rich as he thought he was. And he realized that he had broken the law, but the Bible says he turned around and he went away because he had many possessions. Don't misunderstand. Jesus wasn't saying the way to heaven is to give your way to heaven. We can't do that. Salvation is a gift of God's grace. But what Jesus wanted to do is to show this young man that he had a serious problem with sin, this little self-righteous man who went traipsing around saying, I've kept all the commandments. Look at how good I am. Jesus was proving to him, I want you to know today, you've got a sin problem that's really, really deep. And today God is saying two things to us. First of all, for those of you who do not know Christ as Savior, what he's saying is, look, Jesus died that you might be forgiven, and his death was a substitute for us. That's what he's saying to those of you who don't know Christ. But to those of us who know him, Christ is saying, look, how deep a commitment does greed have in your life? Are you willing to be generous? Are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to give it away like the missionaries do and how we thank God for them? Are you willing to simply say, God, here it is? Because the Scripture says very clearly that which is admired and loved among men, as I read earlier, is detestable to God. It's in all of our hearts, folks. It's there. It's in my heart. It's in your heart. The question is, how do we deal with it that we might honor God with what he's given? This is Pastor Lutzer. I believe that it was the German philosopher Goethe who made the statement that he did not want to know who he was. He said, may God help me from finding out. In other words, what he was saying is he knew that down deep in his soul there were things that he didn't want to deal with. Well, what's true of him is also true of us, isn't it? And I think that this series of messages intended for us to be very, very honest in this business of self-perception. And we can only do that in God's presence. There are some sins we can't see unless God shows them to us. And may he do that.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, concluding Greed, the Heart Revealed, another message in his series on 7 Secret Snares. Tomorrow, snare number 2, gambling. Don't bet on it. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series can be yours in Dr. Lutzer's book, 7 Snares of the Enemy. Your copy will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.